Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is faithful. He's good. Hey, what a beautiful day yesterday. The day before it rained, but it was still beautiful. We need the water for the spring's things to bloom. And if you have allergies, you're already well aware that everything's blooming. But the cyclical, hey, the cycles of life, the winds of time, the winds of change, the seasons, the sands of time. I repeat all this stuff continually as time is. I actually thought about this morning. You know, I've been at Longview for the years I've been here. Do you realize in less than half the time that I've been here, I will have been here 30 years? Now, that's scary when you think about time. Those who were here when I came would go, what? How could that ever happen? It's been that fast. So we don't have time. Time's one thing that we cannot hold on to. It is literally like trying to grab sand. What happens? No matter what you do, it goes through your fingers. That is what time is. It's like grasping on to the wind. We can't do it. But I'm so thankful that what we can take hold of is eternal, and that is salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here today. Not here to play church. You've heard me play church or be religious. You're at the wrong place. But if you want to know how to love, honor, glorify the living God of all creation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and have a true hope, a living hope, a lasting hope, a hope that will transcend, meaning that will span the test of time, that is why we're here and what we're here tonight, today. For those that don't know Jesus, I pray you don't leave here until you find the truth. Those watching in the same way. There is no hope in anything else, and I'm so thankful that God is faithful. I don't know what I would do if I was not a Christian now, especially at this day and time. You just have to turn on the TV to be astounded at the state of things all around. I'm thankful I don't watch that anymore, so I don't have to worry as much about turning it on and getting polluted. It's like driving here at church. You never know what the smell is going to be outside. Amen? Thankfully, my car doesn't let me know until I open the door, and this morning it was like, oh, good gracious, I feel like I just opened a port-a-john up. Not a good smell, but I'm so thankful that, I mean, the farmers need that stuff. You can't even imagine that anything good could come out of that smell, amen? But there is, and as green as the fields are, evidently it loves whatever was put on it. So I'm just, I'm so thankful, though, that though people change, times change, everything changes, the truth of God doesn't change. This morning, the title of the message is In the Streets, But Not in the Home. Now, that's kind of a reference to what I just mentioned a minute ago when I say, if you look at the global situation right now, it's even more so troubling. You know, you think about our time. One of my worst nightmares is to have someone disappear that I know. There's not many more nightmares that I could ever imagine happening. I just hate to say it this way, I'd rather have somebody and be able to deal with it than to have somebody disappear. Things like that thing that happened in Nashville with that young man, y'all pray for that family, because if that was me, I would completely lose my bearing and being until I found out an answer. I don't care if it took 40 years. There's something about me. My family will tell you, if I lose something, God forbid, I will tell you, I've looked for stuff for before. I am extremely micro-focused whenever something, anybody else like that? Isn't it awful? Those of you who share a kindred spirit, it is a blessing, but in more cases than not, it's a curse because you can't let go. But I've been thinking a lot about that family. I guess today's the eighth day, you know, and just these things that can happen, you know, again, there is no certainty in the world. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't read, because I don't watch it, but read in the news that someone has disappeared, whether they've been abducted, whether they've walked off and got lost. And that is the hard part. And the thing about that people don't really grasp about that is if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't even know what lost is. Because if you're lost, you think that being lost here is lost. No, that's nothing. Not being able to find you here is nothing. But to be lost for all eternity, separated from the God that created you to fellowship with him and dwell with him, there is no greater horror. There is no greater horror that could be imagined than waking up in eternity, recognizing Christ was real, God was real, God's desire to dwell with us was real, and through the rejection, we have now been solidified in an external separation from him, I imagine. So that's why I'm so thankful today that we have this, the title, In the Streets, but not in the home. This stuff can happen in the streets. The hopelessness, the brokenness, all of the remedies that we see our country striving for and looking to. I read a very troubling thing this morning about a lot of the lawmakers are absconding. They're getting out of politics. Many of them have been quitting midterm, which is very, very unrare. If you know anything about politicians and historically, they never quit midterm. They would finish out, you know, whether it was a two-year or four-year term, they would finish that out and then gracefully bow out. They're actually, a lot of them are quitting midterm now. They said it's become so toxic, it has become so volatile that they feel they're completely impotent and able to do anything positive. And that's very hopeless feeling. I don't, you know, again, I'm not in politics. I thank God that he didn't lead me into that realm. We all are in the sense that we must vote and we must make our voice heard. But it's very, very troubling. And the reason is there's a scripture behind it. And there's a scripture that says, a house divided will surely fall. So when you can't get people to come together and have a consensus, even though we all realize God made us all differently, people have different wants, needs, desires, that's okay, but the fundamentals in a God-centered worldview are still fundamental. But when you remove God from the equation, what happens? Well, we begin to function as though truth is not an absolute, it's relative. When truth becomes relative, you will never get anybody to agree about anything because there is no central focus with which unites people. And again, that's troubling. Why today can we sit in here, and I know there's people in here probably have more money not ever have in 10 lifetimes, and there's people in here that don't have two rusty nickels to rub together, and there's people that are blue collar, white collar, and everything in between in here, right? But we have a central focus. What is the central focus? Christ, the God of creation, fellowshipping with him, dwelling with him. We have a unifying source, which is God's word. So, see, we have something that unites us that is the focus, but when you remove that, well, first of all, I'm not here if the Bible's not real. If God's not real, I don't have time to sit in here and mess around with a club. I don't have time to get involved in the motorcycle gang or the whatever Optimist Club or anything else for that matter. I got a whole lot more on my plate to deal with. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything else they could be doing today? Amen. You're sacrificing your time for the God that sent Jesus to die for us. He sacrificed the ultimate gift for us. And I'm so thankful today that we do have this unifying focus. But see, I hope today your understanding is that it can happen in the streets. Let it happen in the streets, you know. We pray that God would send a mighty revival that would transform our nation once again with the purpose that it was foundationally established to be. But ultimately, we know from Scripture, things can't get better before the end, right? So the more unraveled things become, is that a hopeful or hopeless? Hopeful. Hopeful. You know what the Bible says about the end times as far as people's heart and the love of people? The Bible says this, the love of most, the majority, will grow cold. Scripture then says, he who endures to the end will be saved. Is that not a troubling scripture? It's not troubling to me. I see it playing out. I see people, as Scripture says, if you go into Romans 1 and you look at all these numerous scriptures that talk about it, with men being faithless and heartless and ruthless and all the things that Scripture talks about will be, this is the prophetical prophecy of Scripture of what would occur in the culmination of time. Well, I'm excited because Scripture also says that the things, you know, the earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, you know what it says? Do not be troubled. They said they're like birth pains. Well, if you've ever seen a woman in labor, how does it begin? It begins subtly. You can actually see it on the monitor, right? See these little tiny contractions, and they're far apart. And then, right, they'll have another one, right? And, oh, you don't say it. You ain't seen nothing yet, right? And the more it progresses, you can watch it on the monitor. Last year in labor and delivery, watching that is really awesome to watch. And hey, getting bigger, more intense, and guess what? They begin to get closer together. So that by the time a woman gives birth, those things are minutes apart. And then that's when the baby comes. That's what Scripture likened the end times to. Well, I want to tell you something. The world's in labor, church. It's in labor. It's not only in labor, it is in the end part of labor. The world right now, and we are watching, not only the biggest one of all is what's happening, occurring in Israel right now, because that is going to be the epicenter of the end times prophecy as it plays out. Is it troubling? In no way. Why do I share this today? Because I am here to bring hope. I'm here to bring peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Not external peace outside of these walls. We're talking about the culmination of the bride of Christ being prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. What bride of Christ? All of us. Universal by Jesus Christ make up the single, e pluribus unum. Many become one. We are the body of Christ, and that is the culmination of all things in time. We'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb one day. So I hope you're excited about that. I hope you're longing for that time. But most importantly today, I hope you're preparing to fulfill the purpose and plan that God has for your life, living it out, living every day like it's your last, but also preparing like the world will be here another 1,000 years, because that's what we as the body of Christ need to do, because we have a lot of littles that we need to prepare to hand the torch to one day. There's one thing I am assured of. Church, I'm not getting any younger. As the little ones, right? No, one of them in particular, very young, knows my age, you know. Well, you're blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he says it all the time. Thankfully, he's not even listening right now, because he'd be standing up shouting it out in the pew. But they're always reminding you of your age, right? So say I'm 23 and I can't handle it. Don't even shout, liar. I won't listen to what your kids say if you don't listen to what mine say. Amen? But turn your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, we're going to look at verses 12 through 15 this morning, again, of a message titled In the Streets But Not in the Home. And my prayer through this today is it will encourage you as you see things amiss out in the world. It can be very, very difficult not to become cynical, not to become complacent, not to become apathetic, or even outright just like, you know what, I'm going to hibernate or shelter in place at my place. I'm not going to talk to anybody, and I'm not going to do anything, because that right there is completely outside of what God wants us to do. God wants us to be actively engaged in sharing Christ, in ministering, in being the hands and feet of Jesus, because there are many people that will never see the real Jesus if we don't live it out. And I hope, though, this encourages you to understand that though we may see all this, though we may watch all this take place, though it will seem as truth is completely irrelevant all around, we don't have to live like that. We don't have to live in that. We don't have to let the world impact this church. We can actually be the church and allow this body of Christ, the actual church, not this building, but the people that make up the body of Christ, impact the world as opposed to the world impacting our church. And I hope that encourages you. Isaiah 59, verses 12 through 15. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence this morning for the reading of God's word. For our transgressions have multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgression and deception against the Lord, turning away from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering lying words from the heart. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far off. For truth has stumbled in the public square, and honesty cannot enter. Truth is missing, and whoever turns from evil is plundered. The Lord saw that there was no justice, and he was offended. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to see your word today. And God is almost a mirror of what was going on at this time in Scripture in Isaiah. Father, seems to be playing out right before our eyes. God, give us wisdom, wisdom well beyond our years and our understanding, wisdom that only comes from your Holy Spirit as you direct us, you guide us, you strengthen us, you equip us for the mission field that we have been placed on. God, I pray this morning you would challenge us in ways like never before to stand firm in ways like never before, recognizing that the truth we stand for is an absolute truth. It is unchanging. Thank you, Father, that it is rooted in the finished work of salvation that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and everything that he did and what he represents for us this morning. Father, I pray that you alone would be glorified and everything would submit to your authority, Father, and we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to encourage you, please, if you're in any way going to work with our kids, please be at the meeting this morning. I want to encourage. Once again, that's one of the most important ministries we have at this church body, because please understand, without children, we have no future here. Amen? Now, I would assure you this morning, I could bring in countless churches within 5 miles of this building that would do anything to have the children that we've been entrusted with. So please, I beg to stay. It won't be long. We take the child protection extremely serious here at this church. And that's why we go to the lengths that we do to make sure that we have been trained. As a matter of fact, yesterday out on our property, we did our security training. Thank the Lord. It was very safe. It was a great time. But church, we have to do things to ensure that things stay safe and people stay safe. And that's why we go through. We want to increase our training to twice a year. But thankful we have, you know, law enforcement that's able to help us with that. People who are currently actively, Josh is a current law enforcement officer. Me, many with our military experience. So it is a blessing that we have the ones that God's given us. So please pray that all the ministries we continue to be effective in being what we should be in training and doing all the things that we do to make sure that they continue to function as God would call us to. Listen to verse 12 and 13 again. For our transgressions have multiplied before you. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. We know our iniquities. And then 13, transgression and deception against the Lord, turning away from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving, uttering lies and words from the heart. Does that not like seem like a mirror of our culture? As God led me to that this week, it was just, as I read that, I said, it's literally like a psychological diagnosis of our city as a nation, as our communities. First thing that I want to share with you is this. The wickedness around us can seem consuming. Does anybody ever feel like that? I'm not going to say which retailer, but I know there's a number of them right now. They have a new security policy in terms of shoplifting. By the way, who pays for shoplifting? We all do. If you're actually not a shoplifter, you're paying for it. The policy in many places now is just let them go. Let them walk out and take whatever they want to take. Well, I was thinking yesterday, well, I need a new TV. You know, let's just go pick one up and look at them. The woman at Walmart a number of weeks ago, I had something small, wasn't even big, and I'm walking out the thing, and the woman, she was an older woman. It was over in Franklin, and she said, can I see your receipt? And I pulled it out and I said, you know, I just walk right by you. She said, I know, I can't do anything about it. I said, but I'm a law-abiding citizen, so I gave you my receipt. But what is the job? It's pointless. When lawlessness has been able to abound, do you know who ends up getting in trouble, right? The lawkeeper. The one who does want to do the right thing ends up becoming, when they do something, in essence, you go out and see somebody shoplifting and you hear the person holler at them, you go out there and tackle them, the next thing you know, you're in jail for assault. The paradigm shift. Scripture actually says they will call what? Good bad and bad good. Celebrating things that are completely against a culture that's rooted in scriptural truth, which is, scriptural truth is law and order, church. I don't know what planet you're on if you think anything different, but God is a righteousness and justice, and punishment must come to a lawbreaker, the scripture. A really interesting thing called a court system, the things that used to function effectively, you know, in my opinion, decades ago, but they don't function that way anymore. You have people that will get involved in some drug trafficking or whatever and end up going to prison for 40 years and someone kills somebody and they're out in 10. It just doesn't make sense, in my opinion. I don't really understand it. But that's what happens when your spiritual compass becomes warped. When your spiritual compass gets out of balance and out of check, wickedness ends up becoming celebrated. But godliness, on the other hand, ends up mocked and in a state of mockery. And see, the wickedness around us can seem consuming, but you have to realize once again, when you understand what Scripture is and you understand the context of it, seeing what Scripture lays out, by the way, it lays it out word for word. It talks about lawlessness. It talks about rebellion. It talks about children defying their parents. Don't know where that happens, do you? All you've got to do is go to Walmart. That's why I don't go to Walmart unless it's about 6 o'clock in the morning or sometime. I don't go there because I've heard people, one person was telling me recently there was a child in there cursing their parent out. And the person said, you need to listen to your spouse. And that child turned around and told them something that, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. I'd have to do a good old-fashioned Pentecostal laying on of hands. It'd be all I could do. I literally would have to put my hands behind my back, shut my eyes, and walk on to keep from doing something very foolish. But I realize the implications of lawlessness. It's not good. It's survivable for people who've been trained to deal with those kind of environments, but for the average Joe, it's a very scary position to be in, a very unsafe place to live. But that's the picture of what's happening right here in Isaiah. The multiplication of sin, it's the multiplication of every, remember scripture when the Israelites would, God would bless them and the Jewish people, and then they would become complacent and apathetic, and we get to the point where scripture says this, everyone would do what's right in their own eyes. Meaning, truth is relative. This is not a new concept. This has happened since the foundations of time and eternity, Adam and Eve. In the garden. The whole entire reason we're dealing with this right now, one momentary choice in history changed everything. And you want to say that your desire to do what you think you want to do isn't a big deal and that's your decision to make? Oh, really? Go tell Eve that. And then Adam. Go tell them, hey, everybody can do what they want to do, Eve. If you want to take a bite of that, go for it. It's your life. Would anybody in here tell her that? I'm going to choke the life out of you before you touch it, sweetheart, because I love you that much. That's what should have been said, but Adam dropped the ball. He should have been doing what he should have been doing, which was protecting his wife from that danger, and he failed miserably. As a matter of fact, he decided to join the party right after she did. And that's the consequences that right now, the two people that I personally know this week that died, do you realize this week they died from what happened in the Garden of Eden? Sin's consequence passed on. Now, they're not lost. Thank God both of those people this week that died were believers, followers of Christ. One of the funerals is today. One was yesterday. So praise the Lord. They are in an amazing place. They are rejoicing in the presence of King Jesus, receiving the reward that they, because of Christ's righteousness, receive. So I'm thankful today. They're more alive right now than they have ever been in their life. That's an exciting thing. We are the ones, if you're crying, go to a funeral and cry. You're not crying for them, you're crying for you. We're crying for us. We're the ones that are stuck here in the brokenness of this life. That person lost nothing. They gained everything. Isn't that ironic a lot of times? We feel so bad for someone that's life was lost. But if they're a believer, they're not lost. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't do anything but punch you if you were able to bring them back. You could say, hey, listen, look, I brought you back. How? Do you remember what you brought me from? To? Because the old order of things has passed away. There's no greater place to be than in the presence of the God of creation, worshiping around his throne. I don't know anything that could be more incredible, but I assure you, if any person, the ones that I love more than anything that love me dearly, would assault me if I had the ability and God gave me the permission to bring one of them back from the place that they're in right now. Scripture says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what's in store for those who love him. But listen to verse 14 and 15. So then justice is turned back, righteousness stands far off. For truth has stumbled in the public square. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is missing. And whoever turns from evil is plundered. The Lord saw that there was no justice, and he was offended. Wow, so it's actually devolved, meaning it has now gotten to the place where righteousness stands far off. Meaning good truth doesn't even have a place at the table again. This is how far the society has gotten. Isn't that interesting? Does this not mirror anything around us? We have lawmakers that can't sit together and find something common that unites them. What is it just about week in and week out? There's a scandal with one of them or another somewhere. Whether they are pilfering money or whether they couldn't control themselves, I'm going to go no farther than that. But there is week in and week out, like dominoes falling one after another. Private, personal. Hey, you get the, what is this? I read in the last year, somebody head of a PTA somewhere, it would stole all this money from them. You're like, what's wrong with these people? I know what it is. Righteousness stands far off. Justice is turned back. Speaking, conceiving, uttering lying words from the heart. Truth has stumbled. Honesty cannot enter. Church, we have a choice every single day. Second thing I want to share with you tonight or this morning is this. It can seem as though all society is without hope. It can feel like that sometimes. Anybody ever feel like that? Anybody ever feel like, you know, okay, good. That's normal feelings that we can have. We got to be careful, though, because that leads to a cynical mindset of apathy, indifference, and like, there's nothing I can do. But wait a second. What's Scripture say? Scripture gives great hope. Now, it's not hope in this. It's hope in the finished work of Christ Jesus and what comes beyond. It now says also that we are aliens, we're strangers. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We have been called out. So what does that mean? That to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God, is what Scripture says. So are you a friend of the world? Are you desiring all the people in your, I don't know, every time I say this word right, Facebook? Are you wanting that Facebook love? You got 5,000 people tell you how great you are. You're out of step. You're doing the wrong thing, but you just went on there because you knew they're going to tell you that everything's wonderful and great and fine, and you got attaboys, thumbs ups, and everybody telling me you're such a strong person when you're out of step with God's word. Well, you can let you all that they want to tell you. By the way, they don't care nothing about you. That is nothing more than a big pile of froth. Everybody tells you what you want to hear, when you want to hear it. And if you want truth, you better not go on that platform to find it. You better find you some solid, godly brothers and sisters in Christ. Sit down, tell them a situation, and say, would you please speak to this? You better make sure they're solid in their faith, too. Because you can find you a sugar daddy or some long-legged, sorry, no-count bag of bones to tell you anything and everything you want to hear. But at the end of the day, what is truth? Truth is absolute. So when you say, you know what, I don't like that no-good husband of mine, that wretched thing, he ain't never been no count. My mama said it, I never should have married him. Or ladies, you know, that guys, that girl, that's the sorriest woman that God ever laid two legs on. And I don't know why in the world I didn't listen. Everybody around me told me not to marry her. Well, if you've got no biblical grounds for divorce, don't come up in front of me and say, Brother Jonathan, you know that God, ready, I was told this word for word, God wants me happy. What verse is that? That's not anything out of this Bible, the word. You found a word from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the first verse, because you wanted to hear it. You wanted somebody to tell you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. If you want to hear truth, truth is what God's word says. If you have no biblical grounds, and by the way, the first thing everybody said, I've got grounds now. Oh, you want grounds? How about grounds to do what the scripture says and to forgive 70 times 7? Yeah, exactly. Got awfully quiet in here. Please help me get this cricket sound worked out. I'm working on this one, church. Because it's a hard one. Nobody wants to amen that because you're scared that somebody next to you is in a situation like that. And you don't want them to think, I mean, I understand it's a very tough situation I'm telling you right now, but it's truth. The truth is, if you're outside of God's word, you don't want anybody to call it for what it is, and you want everybody to just get uncomfortable and just walk away. And, well, you know, see, no. If you don't have anything in your life that is grounds to walk off on your spouse, don't do it. It's not blessable, and time is fleeting. Why do you want to walk out and make a mess of your life because you're upset, you're frustrated, you don't like the optics of your life right now, you don't like the situation you're in? What is love? It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We've forgotten that, church, because it's not been based for a long time in our cultural standard on what the standard and the basis of love is. It has been based on, do I have a what? Basis to leave. We can all find a basis to leave if we really sit back and do it, can't we? Anybody at one point or another can find a basis to leave. If anybody's been married any length of time, somebody's done something that you could hype up and say, well, I got a reason to leave. How about this? How about a reason to stay? How about a reason to do the right thing and to honor the Lord? How about to stand the test of time? I'm not telling you to stay there and get beat. Please don't understand. Y'all remember I was a policeman. I know what the law is. If somebody's beating you, get out the door fast. Run off and divorce them? No. Get to a safe place. Get some professionals involved and do things the right way. Got to clarify that so people don't think, well, Brother Jonathan's telling me to go get beat. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm the first one that's told anybody getting hurt physically to get separated from the situation. But see, culturally, we have adapted ourselves to this. We stopped using this, the word. We stopped using truth as the litmus test, and the church began to model itself after the world as opposed to the world modeling itself once again after truth. You have to ask, who's your daddy? Who's your God? Who's your Lord? Who's your King? Who's the Father? Who's the one that you're going to stand before one day? It's him. Don't listen to that no-count gossip next door that's been telling you a bunch of smoke and mirrors and a quick excuse to get away from or to fix the situation. You better look at the truth, because truth doesn't change. It never has and it never will. What was right in 1904 is right now. And what is right or wrong now was right in 1904. Much less 1604 for that matter. But church, Longview Baptist Church as a whole, but each of us individually first, have to wake up every day and ask this question: who this day are you going to serve? Are you going to watch the culture and allow the culture to dictate and demand how you address things and deal with things? Are you going to look at the culture and how your friends, are you going to, by the way, watch the social dilemma. You'll see how much social media affects your decision making. You don't realize it until you watch that documentary from the founders of these things telling you how they're socially developing your thought process. Well, I better watch. I'm getting wound up. I started again the other day because it was so moving of a documentary. This is truth. You want to watch truth, they tell you. They had a hard time beginning to say it. They were scared they'd get sued because they were letting you in on secret foundations of every single one of them. Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, all of them. Google, they're all in there. And they're telling you how dangerous the social media platform in and of itself is because what they've done has socially engineered you as a product. If you think about it, they know about it. If you've ever, ready? You just heard what I said? Ever searched it? They know it. You wonder why your ads are so tailored to what you just thought about or talked about or thinking? They know you better than you know you. Wow, I was just thinking about buying one of those. How'd that happen? But my question is, who's actually really socially forming your standard of absolute moral truth, church? Are we at this place now where if you let them do it, you're going to have this, what we're dealing with right here? Turning away from following God, speaking oppression, revolt, conceiving and uttering lying words from the heart, justice turned back, righteousness standing far off, truth has stumbled in the public square, and honor, truth is missing. Ready? Whoever turns from evil, though, this is somebody who's trying to turn, do the right thing, is plundered. The Lord saw there was no justice, and he was offended. So you have the street, right? You have this morning's title, in the streets, but not in this house, not in my house, not in the house. You can make a concerted effort not to allow the world to change you, but you be a force that God uses to change the world. And it's an every single day, overt act of your will, desiring and choosing godliness, righteous, and absolute moral truth over the filth and the lies that are pervasive around us. You want to stand the test of time? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you business. It's going to cost you friendships, relationships. It may cost you everything. But I ask you, is it worth it? I know it is. Because as Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. One of the friends, her funeral's today, 61 years old. 61 years old ain't old, church. Matter of fact, it's looking really young. 60's a new 20. I can't believe those over 60 didn't say amen. But it is. Because we'll be there in the snap of a finger. My other friend this week is 87. Praise God. You know why she lived that long? She didn't have a doctor and didn't take prescriptions. None. Zero. They were kind of concerned when they came to get her after she had died that she didn't have a doctor. The kids were like, you don't understand, Mom. She didn't like doctors, didn't want to undo with doctors. She lived to be 87 years old, praise God, amen. But 87 and 61, big difference. Doesn't matter, though. You know what? I also read about somebody 2 days younger than me, be July 11th of 74, that just died. He's might have been the Tullahoma obituaries yesterday, this morning. Ain't too old. Don't know why, listen, time is going no one. It stops for no one. No one. I can think of the ones in this church that have gone since I've been here, and it's been like yesterday. gone. Church in the streets, but not in the home. My question to you this morning is, are you living in light of eternity? Are you preparing for eternity? That's the whole entire created purpose that we have. We were created by God to glorify Him. And I ask you, are you doing that this morning? Or are you being so conditioned by the world that you don't even recognize until now how far outside of God's created purpose you have gotten? But as you begin to think of it, you are horrified with the reality that you have been conditioned to the world as opposed to conditioned to the truth of God, the peace of God, and God's purpose and desire for your life. Because becoming what happens in this scripture is so easy. All you've got to do is put it neutral and just ride the winds of time, and you ride the winds of time and change. And they will condition you to be exactly what they want you to be. They'll condition you to think exactly what they want you to think about the things of the Lord and how, oh, God understands. God understands. No, no, no. I'm sorry. God doesn't change. And what it says in the Word from the beginning till the end is still truth. Whether you and I like it or not, it's truth. And we'll stand to truth because it is absolute. It's built in the character of God, and God can't change. And church, if that part of God changes, I'm out of here and you'll never see me again. But He can't, because I would not serve a God that changed, because I would have no assurance and no security that my, and I can't imagine being in another reality where I don't have the absolute promise that the old order has been changed and nothing will change going forward. That this morning is truth. God cannot change and He will not change. Mankind changed the beauty of what God had created. And I'm so thankful that the love of God sent Christ Jesus to bring restored to the condition that God had originally intended for man, which was to dwell with Him, to fellowship Him with Him. And Jesus Christ became the eternal high priest so that we didn't have to go and confess to a priest, offer sacrifices, and spend the entire course of our lives trying to redo what had been undone. No, all of that was pointing to what Jesus would do when He bore our sin, breathed His last breath, 3 days in hell, got the title deed to earth, rose that first Easter morning, and right now, because of that, we can be objects of God's mercy, objects of His grace. There's no words. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is God's call to us as followers of Christ, to be transformed. Not into the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewal of the mind, by the way, church, does not occur just because we decide to get godly Christian or saved. No, when we give our lives to Christ, by the way, dead man can do nothing. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, Scripture talks about in the beginning of Ephesians. When we are made alive in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell in us. Concept that's way bigger than my ability to explain, right? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in every single Christian follower of Christ all over the globe. But ready for this? It does so singularly. The same way the body of Christ is a singular element, the same way that happens. Again, it's way above my pay grade, but praise God, it's the still truth. Amen? Just because I can't fully comprehend it or grasp it. But the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us, that is the thing that brings life to us. That is the thing that transforms us and begins to help us understand. The Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us is the thing that convicts us. When you or I begin to walk down a road and you're like, oh, you know, I'm kind of tired of this old family and tired of this life and tired of this, that, and the other, and I want to go do this. And you start going, that's not the right thing to do. What am I thinking doing that? What in the world would that ever, a conviction that we have, and then we repent of that. God, I don't want, what am I doing? I don't want to run off with that life from this life. Look at the blessing of what you've given me. Lord, forgive me for my even thought of that, Lord, the temptation in that. God, I reject that. I categorically embrace the plan that you have for my life. You created me, and God, the fundamental fulfillment that I'll ever experience is found only in you. That is what the Holy Spirit does. As we read God's word, the Holy Spirit burns God's word into our hearts and shows us what God wants us to learn. Church, I could go on all day. But it leads to the third and final thing this morning that I'm going to share with you, and it's this. Those who love the Lord will have a household of fulfillment and peace. Church, I encourage you this morning, you honor Christ. You honor the Lord. Don't worry what the world does. Don't worry that the world gets upset if you put that your child got saved or you did this, or you've been reading your Bible and you want to put that on your social media, do it. By the way, I want you to do a little test. Put something on there, you know, oh, my friend so-and-so did the this, that, and the other. Just put something random on there and watch how many likes and responses and, right? Even more so, tell them your kid got an award at school. Oh, it'll blow up. You'll have 1,000 responses, you know. Put on there that God's word has been transforming you and you realize what a broken mess you were and how God has been growing you in the nurture and the admonition of the Holy Spirit. Do it. If you want to think that you're not being socially engineered by the world, do it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many thumbs up, likes, and comments will you get? Hence, cue the cricket noise. What does that tell you? Maybe they're not seeing it. Let's just give it that one. Maybe it's the social engineering part of it that you'll read it, or you'll see if you watch that Social Dilemma documentary. Or maybe that's just not fun to read. Maybe I don't want people to think that I'm too spiritual, and, you know, or maybe it's just, I just wasn't even an interest in the first place. I challenge you to do it, to see what I'm talking about. Then you'll start to find out, are the people that I call friends, are they really tracking with what I am and who I am and what I represent and what I stand for? Or are they just along with the winds of the world and time, and they're just changing and going with the winds? I don't know. I ask you that. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If it's for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. If you don't like that I'm a heavy disciplinarian in my house, I'm going to inform you of something. I don't care what you think. And I'm telling you with that all truth. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to say it to me, because you'll probably get offended when I tell you to keep your nose out of my business, because I will have to stand before God and how I raise my children, and I will not placate to you or what you think I should do with my kids. You know what I know? My children will stand before God one day. I'd rather do what I'm doing and be a hard parent that one day makes it a whole lot easier for them to unconditionally submit to the God of creation, because they will have to do that to find truth, life, and hope in him. But God forbid that I don't raise my children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they never learn what it's like to unconditionally submit to authority, and therefore never submit to the authority of God, because I never modeled that for them. And God forbid they die lost and without hope, because I stripped hope very place that it should have been in the home, but I didn't do it out of the fear that somebody might get offended, because I want to be a staunch picture of what God's word and truth is. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Oh, look at the next verse. Spare the rod, contribute to their death. Don't you just wish it was physical, if that was the consequence? The sad part is, that's not just that. It's eternal spiritual death, which is the worst that we could ever imagine. Church, in the streets, not in the home. This day, I ask you, who does your household serve? What do you represent? What are you? And I challenge you, if Christ is not preeminent, meaning number one, I would encourage you this morning to do a change of leadership and allow the blessings of God, the truth of God, and the transforming work of God, a place in your home, the place of preeminence, first and foremost. And starting today, it'll change your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning for your truth, for your word, God, that brings life, brings hope. Father, thank you, Lord, that we don't have to follow what the world does, even though it's so, I recognize first and foremost how hard it is to the tide of popular belief, Lord, and the things that are culturally the shifting sands and winds of culture. Father, I pray, Lord, that your word would speak to all the hearts in this building, but not only that, the ones online watching this morning. I know what I've shared this morning that you've laid on my heart, Father, is not popular teaching. It's not popular to talk about. Nobody ever wants to be called to account. Nobody ever wants to have their feet stepped on, especially in this day and time. But Father, truth is truth, and I'm so thankful that we have your unchanging truth. God, thank you this morning that the places in our life that are not right, we have the ability, since we're still breathing and living, to get those things from the place that they are not to be and get our lives and our affections and our focus on the things in the place it should be. Father, I pray during this invitation today for any of those in this building or watching online, Lord, that you have convicted. I pray that they would lay these down at your feet today, realizing the God's little g of this world, Father, are rampant all around, but they are no God at all. They will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. But you, Father, you are the God that changes hearts, changes lives. God, you change generationally in homes when we choose you this day, that we will serve you and you alone. Father, thank you, Lord, for your patience, your long-suffering. God, I pray this morning that during this invitation there would be major changes in lives and hearts and families, homes, Lord, that ones would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ today, realizing they're a sinner in need of a Savior, recognizing the separation from you that they are in right now, professing faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, and asking you to be the Savior and Lord of their life. Lord, today, we give you full and free reign to do whatever it is you want to do. We ask this in Jesus' precious, holy, and righteous name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.